well. I want to get out of here and go home.
Yeah, 16th meeting of the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs. The day is March the 6th, 1987. It's 3:03. We note following members present: Representative Cato, Representative Savacki, Representative Springer. This constitutes a quorum. Representative Collins, Representative Herman are excused, they're out of town. On the calendar, we have two items today: continued consideration of House Bill 9 relating to projected operating and maintenance cost of capital improvements, and we had House Bill 136. And House Bill 136 was requested by the sponsor to be deferred for another meeting. So we're going to limit our meeting today on House Bill 9. In your folder, you'll find a couple things. A memorandum from Representative Savacki to sponsor Representative Davis, and the original House Bill 9 file, and sponsor suggested amendments to House Bill number 9. So at that time, I open it up for discussion and remarks, and we have Representative Davis here also. Either way, it's fine with me. Why don't we let the sponsor start off, and then you can, Representative Savacki can remark and react to that.
Well, I have to apologize to Representative Savacki. He has some proposed amendments, and I certainly feel that they would be considered to be a benefit to the committee. I think you've seen this bill, or it's been before you for a long time, and I don't have any real remarks other than the fact that I think that the era of capital budgets and capital projects are perhaps waning, but perhaps in these waning times it would be good to make sure that the communities have a knowledge on what the operating costs are. I don't know if you noticed in the paper last few days, we've had a lot of stories about the Performing Arts Center, and I probably should have included that in the packet, but they were an interesting discussion on how a community has a whole series of capital projects and they still have to figure out how they're going to pay for them. And I think this speaks to that issue of plugging in the operating costs and perhaps we can't do anything about those that are already out there, but we certainly can do something about those that are be placed on the table for the future.
Yeah, I don't think any one of us had any problems with the intent of the bill. We all realize the value of that type of data being understood right from the start. There were more technical amendments and changes that were suggested. I think in our packet we have first the original House Bill number 9, and then amendments to House Bill 9 by Davis. And maybe at that time, Representative Savacki, would you care to talk about your statement here?
Sure. In fact, if you don't mind, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The one amendment request that I put out, and I have to apologize because if I would have looked and read the next sentence right after it, it did refer to in my amendments wanted to include in sources for these funds to be identified, but again, apparently I must overlook it because the very next sentence says the note must identify the state agency, political subdivision, or other public or private entity. So that portion is in there. So we don't need that at all. On page 2, line 7, the original bill says consider the projected operating and maintenance costs of capital improvements submitted in legislation. I guess maybe it's my interpretation of consider, which means everybody can sit down and think about it, but not really required, and that's the reason why I was hoping to put in require that. In other words, it needs to be in there. You have to have that either state government or sub-government make sure that is indeed in there, and then at the very end of it, in the sources where these funds be identified. Again, making sure that it's a requirement and we know or somebody knows exactly who is going to be paying for those expenses out there, which again is what some of the Davis are saying. It's a concern that we all have. And that's basically the same thing on page 3, line 24. Again, just making sure that it's we know who's going to be paying for maintenance and operating costs for the life of that project or projects. So those, again, were my concerns. Like you said, it's really technical, but if you put it in there, you know, it's saying to all of those entities and all of those paragraphs there, you are going to be required to let someone know who's paying for it. Those are my amendments that I thought would help put, again, some more teeth into the building itself. Other than that, the bill is excellent. I think it's a long time coming, but a long time coming into tighten up some loose projects that we've had out there. Yes, I concur with Representative Davis about the PAC in Anchorage. They're talking, well, whatever, you know, a couple, $2.5 million, and they don't even know where the funds are going to come. We can also talk about Juno down here, about the Pioneer Home that's going in. They don't know where they're going to fund the $2 million or $1.5 million to $2 million for the projects there. And I think if the public were to know that there's going to be a cost, either by the local government or additional cost to the state, we might bring more viable projects out there and probably weed out some of them that are boondoggles. That's all the comment I have.
I just want to make one comment. Did they ever decide on what to name that Performing Arts Center?
This was the wrong committee to discuss that.
any comments on the amendment proposed by Representative Sarek?
No, as long as the sponsor doesn't have any problem with them, I don't.
No, I just, my one thought on this, Mr. Chairman, would be, for example, let's say you're coming up, you have a capital budget item in your villages, and the operating and maintenance costs would be plugged in. You know, I guess you would just say city council would be the ones that would be identified as the people that would be paying for those. Is that that's my understanding of it? Whereas in let's say Nome would be the city of Nome or something like that.
I refer to the sponsor to answer that. Yeah, is that what your understanding is?
Well, yes, and as I said, it says it in the, when I wanted to take out my amendment, the request on the first one,
mm-hmm.
You know, it says that where, again, going back to page 1, line 15, you know, the note, which you talked about, the note, the fiscal notes, regardless of where they come, would identify the state agency or the political subdivision. In this case, yes, it would be Nome, and yes, it would be the municipality of Anchorage. Yes, it would be the, you know, the city of Juneau, or any other public or private entity. Again, basically, it would reference who is going to be picking up the expense after that capital project is built or the capital project is repaired.
I certainly don't have a problem with that at all.
I can foresee some problems, and that is, let's look at the variety of capital projects that the state is involved in. Typically, facilities of some kinds, like buildings, okay? Fish hatcheries, schools, public facilities in relation to aviation, you know, airfields, things like that. And some of them, for example, schools, fish hatcheries and stuff like that, you don't know at the inception of the program who ultimately will run them or who ultimately will contribute money to run them. For example, you can have a multiple funded operating budget, and or during the duration of that project, the ownership may change, where you have 1 minute a nonprofit organization or a native organization sharing it with a different organization. That happened, you know, multiple use facilities. And I wonder, no problem with it, but I wonder what trouble an organization would get in then. If in the original bill the source then is identified, for example, as the municipality, what they would have to jump through to comply with the law in such a case.
Well, I don't think you, if you don't mind.
I'm throwing it out for discussion. You know, just trying to see what your feeling is, how that would affect a specific project.
Well, I'll let the sponsor of the amendment address that. From my perspective, you know, all you do is identify the source, and if it changes 5 years from now, there's not much you can do about it. You know, I don't think there's any legal requirement that they that they are the responsible person for the operation and maintenance of the project. It just means that they're, when you're coming up with your budget bill, this is the way I read it anyway, mm-hmm. you're coming up with your budget bill, you know, there's an entity that's identified as the person that's going to be operating the facility.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I view it.
Yeah, and I have no problem with it. As a matter of fact, right now, there is a thing called a project agreement estimate, which lays out who is going to provide which funding, and who is then who is basically the owner and is responsible for it. That's a legal document, and that is, for example, a multifaceted document. If there are federal funds and state matching funds or municipal funds involved, they all get together. Mm-hmm. And that also identifies then the ownership and ultimately who has to run it. But that is not, you know, it's a legal document in its own merit, but it isn't a reaction to a specific law. It's just civil law that requires that. And that's fine. I'm not a lawyer. That's what worries me. If you say source in the laws, that's a source needs to be identified, and it is in the original deal. The source is identified. Then, what is the legal aspect of it? Then, if let's say for 2 years, that picture changes, I don't want to be an obstructionist. You know, I just don't want that we have a bum deal in the bill.
Let me maybe give a couple of ideas or things that I thought that would help in regards to either new capital projects that were to be requested through the state or improvements to projects out there. You know, we, if we submit legislation, are required to get fiscal notes to find out the viability or the overall cost to the state. Mm-hmm. What would be nice, and I think, let me back up here, if I'll just say the municipality of Anchorage for simplicity's sake. If the municipality of Anchorage came to us and were looking for funds for a capital project, I don't think they would have any hesitation about getting a fiscal note if they indeed said, okay, we know we're going to have to be required to take care of the maintenance. If they were going to come to the state and want $1 million or whatever, I'm sure they would find the paperwork to bring along with that to get that. But going along that too, it also would get Anchorage and those people there an idea of what
sure.
the city is going to be spending out there.
Sure.
And right now, what happens a lot of times, there's an assumption that, well, this year we'll get the capital project, and then we'll come back each year and try to get an appropriation for this maintenance and operate through some other kind of facility. I think what you do is you clean up two things. The state knows what it's going to obligate itself to. The municipality obligates itself with its fiscal note to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come back a year or 5 years later, the Anchorage knows it's got that responsibility, and the people have a better idea of what the city is obligating those people to. And right now, you don't have a lot of that control. Again, I relate back to the PAC. It wasn't up until this last year and a half when they suddenly were running into money problems that they finally came out, or it was drawn up by some people in Anchorage as to what that operating cost was going to be, not only for the PAC but other things in Anchorage. And I think you probably have that around the state. One other thing, when you talked about nonprofits, I think what would be also good is if you've got a nonprofit who suddenly is required to show what their maintenance and operations is going to be, and then they either want to turn it over to another nonprofit or because they want to get out of it, at least that new entity has got a clearer picture of what it's picking up in regards to costs besides, you know, a truer picture of the entire operation there. And again, unfortunately, sometimes somebody wants to run in because of a nonprofit, and somebody says you make lots of money, but they sometimes overlook the fact of a lot of additional costs that are out there. And if that was already established in year one and then 5 years later, I don't see the real problem in the transition of whose responsibility on that. You're right, I'm not an attorney either, but I don't feel that there would be that problem. As long as all the guidelines were established right at the very start, and everybody knew exactly who was responsible for what, and that's the reason why.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think 90 some percent of all facilities I can think of would fit exactly in that category.
Yeah.
The only ones I'm thinking about are those where you share it and you let nonprofits get in. But staff just suggested maybe to put in projected sources. You know, that wouldn't tie it down for eternity. That would just show that there are projected, that their source is projected with the present owner. I don't know if that is that they, you know, right in front of sources
Oh, at projected sources?
Yeah, and projected sources. That means at that point when the agreement is made and everything, the operating funds are identified. You know, that is done. We know what the size of it is and all that. And then what we are doing, we are dealing with projected sources, like the city is going to do it, you know. And that's it. That's the owner. But if something happens 3-4 years down the line where a different owner takes over, it becomes a joint agreement, then they can make whatever amendments they make. But I think legally they can do that anyway, I would think.
I have no problem with projected if all of you think that it might be good to throw in there. But as you said, it
sources
probably may not be needed.
Yeah, I would think...
Here's a suggestion. You know, projected may... There may be a better word from a legalistic view.
Yeah, same projected.
Than projected.
Yeah.
What? How about offering up a sort of a... I forget what they call it, but it's kind of a amendment that has the gist of the projected sources for these funds being identified. That's my first suggestion. And the other one, Mr. Chairman, is I have another commitment that I'm going to have to leave fairly soon too. But I before I left, like I said, I think these are good amendments. I don't have any problems with them at all. I think it just makes it more clear. The other thing that I wanted to say before I left, though, is these other amendments, and I believe that actually they were in conjunction with some of the conversations with you, with your staff, or you, I believe, and I think these are also good amendments, and as far as I'm concerned, I both of them just add to the legislation, and I just wanted to say that, but if there's any other questions, I'd be glad to answer them, but I do have to leave.
Okay. You don't have any... You already worked with the staff out, and you don't have...
They're fine.
Point 2 and 3 from Representative Sabaki.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm intending to move that bill out today. So if we can come to an agreement here, and I don't see any real problem. But not being a lawyer, I always feel queasy about some of those deals if later somebody doesn't hook in on something like that. But I don't think so. We discuss it something more, but if you're comfortable with that, that's
sure.
fine.
I just think that you could have these amendments, or this amendment here with this projected sources for these funds be identified, just have that as a, I can't think of the word right now, but just have that.
Subsequent?
Well, not friend. No, I don't know what it is, but anyway, it's the gist of that amendment, and then let the attorney work it out, so... That may be exactly the word he wants, but it may be something a little bit different. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Okay.
Appreciate the
Thank
time.
You.
Thank you.
In everybody's packet, Terry, have we got those first suggested amendments already written in, or do we have to do that yet?
I did that on yours.
But the other ones have not?
That's correct.
Well, before we get it out of here, I think everybody needs to understand what the clear text is.
If I can, Mr. Chairman, we'll go to maybe kind of follow down on page 1 on the line, each amendment down, I think it'll help us.
Yeah.
I think Representative Davis had the same thing, and he overlooked it too, because if you look at page 1, line 17, his addition was to... after the comma, cost, as well as identifying the source of the payment. Well, that's right up there in line 16, 15 and 16 that I overlooked, which was state agency, political subdivision. So,
we don't actually
get the amendment, page 1, line 15 of mine, and page 1, line 17 of Representative Davis is already in that portion of the bill, so we can eliminate those entirely.
That's page 1, line 17.
Right. And I think... Line 19 was just a technicality. He forgot to put the A in there, if you notice, in front of the legislators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's just
he also calls the third change down here, I guess, or the fourth change, he calls item B in that section.
Page 3, line 20.
Page 2, line 8, he identifies that as subsection B.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's the reason for the other one being A.
And his page 2, line 7, where he had consider And on my page 2, line 7, I had require, which he had no problem with. That's the only real difference on both of those. Because the gist of what he's saying and the gist of what I'm saying is the same, other than he had consider, I had require. I think that's what we agreed
that require was a more positive.
Would this section then read, require that the projected operating and maintenance costs annualized over the life of the project be submitted in legislation?
Well, that's what he agreed.
Okay, but in his suggested amendments here, he refines his idea of O&M costs as an annualized over the life of the project, or annualized over the life of the asset or capital improvement, I guess.
Mr. Chairman, also Mike has in his one thing that would conflict with Representative Zawacki's is that he has still left in the legislation. Whereas your amendment calls for it to be with the legislation. See where I mean, Terry?
With legislation, yeah.
Yeah. And I only have one problem with that. That so much of the time when you submit something with it.
But
it can get lost in the heyday.
Well, maybe
but
that
you
might
don't
be...
want to put it in statute either. So I think maybe the word with is better than in legislation.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, since
that would be just like part of the fiscal note, would not only identify the capital layout that's necessary at that point, you would also identify the future operating cost and the source of it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we don't want it in legislation. Because you got to be real careful what you put in statute. It's awful hard to get out.
Well, no. Just so that I can get it to the drafter exactly the way that you want it, as the wording now, item 7, require that the projected operating and maintenance costs annualized over the life of the capital improvement be submitted with legislation, and the source for these funds be identified. Sources.
Correct.
For these funds be identified, is that correct?
That's on page 2, lines
7 and 8. Yes. And then section B to follow immediately thereafter, which is the for the purposes of this section, operation and maintenance cost means those costs necessary to operate a capital improvement and to preserve each type of capital improvement as nearly as possible in its original or improved condition.
That's merely a definition of what
right.
we mean in the other. I mean, excuse me, cue the chair.
Yeah.
We're real formal today.
I think page 3, I guess we are in foil here. Page 3, line 24 that Representative Davis has, and page 3, line 24 we both had. So again, it's a matter of, I guess in his it would be annualized over the life of the capital improvement.
I rather like that annualized.
Talking about annualized over, this right here was brought by a gentleman right behind me from the community and regional affairs staff, and it just sort of displays what that annualized cost would
right.
be compared to construction costs
right.
over a 25-year period.
I think that's one of the reasons why we're putting this bill together. Just thank you very much. That it didn't take long to figure out exactly what to... talking about somebody not realizing those costs that are really out there. If we can, and again, I'll just kind of throw this out on page 3, line 24, Representative Cato likes the annualized. We can have annualized over the life of the capital projects, in other words, this, and projected sources for these funds be identified.
consensus, going up to line 23, including projected operating and maintenance costs annualized over the life of the capital improvement and sources for these funds be identified.
Then we have the subsection I.
On page 4, probably.
Page 3.
Page 3, line 24.
24. Yeah, right underneath that.
24. Okay, right here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same as B above, so.
Yeah. It's just, again, identifying and defining, which so often you need it when you're going through legislation.
Is there anybody else here that wants to testify or have any comments on that? Then maybe I summarize so we know where we stand. We have original House Bill number 9 in front of us. And I reckon we would call that a committee substitute then for House Bill number 9 under consideration with the following changes. We would have on page 1, line 19, we have that parenthesis A addition. On page 2, line 7 and 8, we have the additional projecting operating maintenance cost of capital improvements be submitted with legislation and sources for these funds be identified. We also have a new subject, section B, to read. For the purpose of this section, operating maintenance cost means the cost necessary to operate a capital improvement and to preserve each type of capital improvement as nearly as possible in its original or improved condition. We have also addition on page 3, line 24, to add for the life of the project and sources of these funds be identified. And we have a new subsection I to read, for the purposes of this section, operating and maintenance cost means these costs necessary to operate a capital improvement and to preserve each type of capital improvement as nearly as possible in its original or improved condition. Is that everybody's in agreement with that?
Henry, I noticed that you did not include the words annualized. Do you prefer
that's an oversight on my part. That's right. Also on line 24, annualized over the life of the capital improvements.
It's more sensitive for the life of, you know what I mean?
Yes, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, do we have any more discussion or anything under considerations? Then I would entertain a motion to move a committee substitute for House Bill number 9 on the committee.
I'd like to make a motion to move committee substitute House Bill 9 as amended out of committee at this time. Committee substitute.
Just the committee substitute, not as amended.
Not as amended.
Oh, committee substitute. We've amended. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 9. Any objections to that? Okay, so we move it. Any other business or anything?
Yeah, I know.
No, I wasn't going to let it get away with it either.
You weren't either. I'm shaking my head like this.
Okay, in that case, we adjourn at 3:34.
I'd just like to say I'm sorry I don't have your